we interest in the role which the ordered magnetic field play in the disk, it's clear that inside the disk, matter dominates, and magnetic field line will be wrapped around, will be dragged by the matter. And there are lots of processes like small-scale magnetic field investigated by MRI group, Hawley, Krolik, Stone, and Gagnon. So it's all excellent and nice. But but it's also interesting to know what's the role, which role can play the ordered magnetic field, like loop structure. Loops might be very small on the MRI scale. They might be larger, even larger, or they can look like ordered large-scale magnetic loop, which close somewhere far away. And there are some papers, like Pringle and Todd, who investigate how small loops give larger loops, and larger loops reconnect and give even larger loops. So there are different possible mechanisms how loop might be formed. They might be historical or might be dynamo generated. So this is a separate question which is complicated. But we suppose that there is some colloidal component of magnetic field. And so this was shown already. A nice drawing which Richard did long ago, actually, for his paper, Newman and Lovelace. It shows that differential rotation of small loops, because of differential rotation of foot points, will lead to expansion and even large expansion, because as the mutual component grows and loops expand. And this idea comes from solar physics, where people interested how loops expanding in solar corona. However, solar physics people, they usually think that slower expansion of loop leads to force-free configuration. But it was checked during last years that it's not the case in the sense, in case of accretion disks, maybe because differential rotation is faster and process is not as slow and stationary like in solar physics approach. Or maybe just people who did analytics of opening solar loops, they're just wrong in their understanding. So anyway, evolution of loops is interesting. And we did numerical simulations of opening of magnetic loops. We presented them as a Bessel function. And we were scared to death to have wrong boundary conditions. And this is why we put the second loop at the right side, because we'll notice long in many simulations that the external boundary might influence the process. And that time we couldn't simulate in larger region. Now, later we'll understand that having very big simulation region often helps just to escape the problem of boundary conditions. So anyway, accretion disk is here, and we rotated differentially. And our goal was to see what's going on with loops threading an accretion disk. So we observed that, like in the sketch of 2002, the loop opens, and finally it inflates. And we obtained that there is a current layer forms where, in principle, particles might be accelerated. So what we observed that loops basically inflate, excluding the small region. And it's still not clear why this region is not inflated. One of possibilities is that magnetic tension might influence to this region. And other possibility is that actually it's matter dominated, because there is a little bit of matter is pushed out of the disk, which is boundary condition at this point. So, and this is might be other reason that this is matter dominated region. But what was interesting, so we suppose that this is disk, some external regions of the disk, and the real disk is somewhere below. So this is approach of disk as a boundary condition, which helps in many situations to understand what's going on. So, we let a little bit of matter to go up. Basically, we had M dot equal to constant and change this value, of course. But we try to have corona magnetically dominated. And what we observed that the energy flows up, and energy basically in pointing flux. So it was very nice, interesting result to see that it's possible, at least at some situations, to get basically magnetically dominated outflow. Okay, then we did numerical simulations, and it was shown kindly by Matsumoto. So this is again disk as a boundary condition, and we start from the, this is dipole-like magnetic field with all point somewhere here, and initially velocity equal to zero. Then we start rotate disk, and we observe that the colloidal field line inflates. And it was interesting to see that this is velocity vectors. It was interesting to see that some matter flows up and some matter flows to the right, driven by by centrifugal forces. And so we called and a few other groups investigate this problem, that there is a magnetically dominated, pointing flux dominated outflow in this direction, and matter dominated hydromagnetic winds in this direction. And Eric Koringo will talk about these hydromagnetic jets in his talk. And so let's expand a little bit. So this is the region of hydromagnetic outflow, and this is the region of pointing jet. So looking at fluxes, we see that flux through the top boundary is absolutely pointing dominated, while flux from the to the side is dominated by matter, dominated by hydromagnetic flow. Okay, so similar result was obtained by Richard and also Willie, and also in some papers with Colgate from Los Alamos group. They solved Grashof-Rankine equation and obtained very similar result, that the fast rotation of the inner foot point of the loop leads to tangling of the loop and for formation of this pointing flux dominated outflow along the axis. So we got similar result in case of dipole magnetic field when the star rotates pretty fast, and I showed it in my talk already. Okay, this is just a cute movie of results of axisymmetric simulations. Our tower, we saw Japanese towers one hour ago, and this is another tower. Yeah, they're similar in spite of, yes, this is US-Russian tower, but they're similar because physics is probably similar. So so basically the inner foot points of the loop rotate very fast, and this is why the twist appears and propagates outward. So it's somewhat collimates, and some, actually it's later decollimates a little bit. But still, we think that it's magnetically confined because there is current flowing in this direction, and there is a hoop stress which helps to confine this tower. So, and again, we also interest sometimes to return back to analytics and check how things work in analytics. And one of cute solutions was done the following. So Grashof-Rankine equation was solved in, Grashof-Rankine equation was solved taking into account special relativistic effect, taking into account the jet might propagate with some gamma factor, high gamma, high Lorentz factor. So, and it was solved. And we observed, we also did estimations on the boundary. Let's imagine that pointing flux dominated jet propagates up, and so it's a lot of electromagnetic energy going up. And this head of the jet interacts with interstellar medium, and it's very easy to do estimations when electromagnetic energy density equals to matter energy density at the head of the jet. And this led to interesting relationships, like if you know the magnetic field at the base of the jet and you know density of external medium, then you can derive what's the typical Lorentz gamma factor. And it was interesting to see that the Lorentz gamma factor is of the order of 8 or 10 for typical parameters which are expected at the base of the jet for magnetic field 10 to the 3 Gauss and interstellar medium 1 particles per square cube. And so this was interesting to obtain this result. And of course, in reality, we don't know what's going on. So from one side, there are at small distances, at subparsec scales, we see blobs of matter which are ejected from the central engine. At larger scale, we see more continuous structure in which there are some blobs propagate. And all this should be done in the future more in more self-consistent simulations. But at present, some analytical, theoretical approach it also helps to understand many processes, what's going on. And this is an example when some outbursts can come from the central region at small scales. Okay, so also we are doing relativistic MHD simulation, basically Richard with students. So they took a code, UPIC code. This is fully electromagnetic, a particle and cell code, fully relativistic, special relativistic, of course. At this point. So again, the disk is a boundary condition, and light particles, electrons and leptons, are injected from the boundary, from this boundary. They injected such that, again, matter flux is constant and some values taken. And magnetic field has a dipole-like structure, and initially density is constant, small plasma density is in the region. So we start to rotate the disk differentially, and again, even in this relativistic case, again, see that the magnetic field loops are open, and there's a matter flux. I mean, these are density of electrons and density of positrons. And so light particles are going with magnetic field and propagate to the jet. So this is a movie. Particle in cell with magnetic field. No, there are 10,000 particles. It's not MHD, it's just separate particles, light particles.
But was it meant to be a simulation of a case where individual... But
yes.
Is important, or was it the case where you just use particles to simulate an MHD flow?
Yeah, this is particles which simulate MHD-like flow. They're separate particles. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is movie which shows opening of field lines, and so there is a lot of azimuthal components in this region. And so picture is very similar to non-relativistic case, but this is the case when gamma factor is 10 and they can model up to 20. So pretty high Lorentz factor flow. Okay, this is an example how matter flux is distributed. You can see some islands after processes of reconnection. So basically magnetic field lines is open and there is a mutual component of field here. Okay, but torque is called the unstable formation of implosive formation of jets. And now I'd like to discuss the problem of possible magnetic instability in the disk, which we investigated in 1994. And a few other groups also investigate it, Koenigel and Mario Livia. And actually, numerical simulations of Japanese group often, I think, show signs of this global magnetic instability. And the main idea is the following. If somehow there is inhomogeneity of magnetic field larger than in the nearby regions, and if outflow from this region is important, then angular momentum flux will be taken out of the region, and means that this region of the disk will accrete faster than nearby regions. So when it accretes faster, then magnetic flux accumulates and even more angular momentum and energy will be sent to the outflows, and so on and so on. So the process is unstable, and basically in a few dynamical time scale, a significant part of the disk might accrete to the star or to black hole. And during this process, when matter accretes inward, energy flow to the outflow increases and increases. So it will lead also kind of to formation of jet at the same time. So energy flow to the jet will be also enhanced during this process. And so this will lead to an outburst of some inhomogeneity to the jet, because there is some, we suppose, and some other groups also consider this process, that that it was a kind of stationary flow, and at some moments of instability, of magnetic instability, or some other kind of instability, some more high velocity outburst occurs. And this, it's important to investigate what's going on the front between the old flow of the jet and new outburst to the jet. And Begelman and Sikori and Polish group are very strong in in the simulations, or in the analysis of this front. Okay, and Amir Levinson also doing work on what's going on in this front. Important that between old and new outflows, there is a region where particles might be accelerated and might radiate, and this might be the case when we see the blobs, brighter blobs, might be connected with this process of non-stationary outburst and accretion and radiation. Okay, so again, Richard proposed to do some simple analytical approach of this instability, and so where it was shown that the loop, basically loop was considered when all point of the loop moves closer to the black hole, the energy increases explosively, the energy goes to the jet. Some simulations in X-ray, the M87 galaxy, it shows that sometimes the X-ray increases dramatically and very fast. And this might be connected with some instability in the disk. Okay, but in reality, magnetic field cannot be just of one polarity. It inevitably changes polarity. This is a simplified picture of some number of loops which have one polarity as a red line, then blue polarity is other line. It's basically a bunch of loops of which have different polarities of different foot points. And in this case, if the disk become magnetically unstable, then it will bring to opposite polarity in the jet. So part of the jet will have one polarity, and other part of the jet has other polarity, and the boundary between them, the magnetic field might officially annihilate or reconnect. And this is a good case for reconnection, because it will be forced reconnection. And when two layers of plasma are pushed together inevitably in the like shockwave, magnetic shockwave structure. And this should be investigated in greater detail, of course. And what is possible that in some cases there are two order structure of magnetic field might annihilate and give acceleration of particles. In other cases, the turbulent structure, which comes from MRI or some turbulence in the disk, brings turbulent matter to the jet, and these loops will reconnect and also will give accelerated particles. And Mitch Begelman also pointed out some few years ago and investigated this case. So conclusions is that there are many interesting things which can be investigated, which cannot be done in pure MHD yet, and acceleration of particles need to be included to investigate the processes so that they can be compared with observations. And other conclusions are evident, that ordered magnetic field should be investigated, and its role in the formation of jets. And okay, and in particular, reconnection should be included also as a possible mechanism of acceleration of particles together with shock waves and other processes. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a small comment and a question. A comment to that, I think you should be very careful when you call particle and cell simulations MHD simulations.
I didn't call them MHD simulations.
You did. One of your slides before PIC simulations said relativistic MHD.
This is different, actually.
This is misleading, okay. Unfortunately.
Yes, so this is why you asked. It
right,
wasn't
that's
my
why
slide,
I can't ask that question, right.
Okay, I'll tell them.
Fundamentally, they're in very different density limits, right?
Sure. I know.
And you're necessarily resolving the previous slide.
No, you're wrong.
Go one slide before. One slide before.
One slide before was I see. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
Okay.
So this is a technical detail, but it's important to understand the limitations and regions of applicability of particle and cell methods. And if you actually look at that simulation in more detail, you will see that you will have large regions actually devoid of plasma with large accelerating gradients, which necessarily is not MHD regime. That's just the nature of injecting particles into particle and cell simulation.
Yes, it's not a
right.
It's
right. So
of course,
I mean, this is very, very interesting simulation, but you should be careful in overinterpreting it.
I didn't do any MHD interpretation of this. No,
okay.
Just by chance, just urgent situation. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the question that I have is, we were under the impression that when you have a relativistic flow. Especially magnetically dominated relativistic flow, there will be electric forces that are comparable to J cross B. Therefore, the force balance was thought to be limiting the collimation of relativistic pointing dominated outflows. In your results, it seems like that has disappeared. There is virtually no difference between non-relativistic flows, which can have J cross B, no question about that, and relativistic flows at gamma of equals 10 and more. They seem to collimate just as easily. Do you have any comment why that happens?
Yeah, I think that the existence of plasma is very important in any simulations, both non-relativistic and relativistic. And I think that if to add plasma to relativistic simulations, they might be different compared with simulations, force-free simulations without plasma, which people are doing.
So you're saying the inertial effect
was important? Yes, they might be important because what we see that there is collimation more than in case without plasma. Yes.
And already
yes.
The inertia is
Hoop
important.
Stress, yes, Hoop stress appears, yes, in case of plasma. I think this problem should be investigated more, but
okay.
I think this is the difference because the simulation should be done like a more real situation with plasma.
Okay.
I've been under the impression that magnetic reconnection never gives you a very high energy per particle in acceleration. Is this still true? Is this generally believed?
Yeah, of course I can't respond for all reconnection work. We did some work on reconnection, which is not full 3D in all real situation, but I suppose that there is still very good option that reconnection will accelerate particles because what we see in the collisionless situation, we see two layers of plasma and we see that electric field forms between them. And if the layer is pretty long, then the particles inevitably will be accelerated in this electric potential. So. Yes, I think that general theory is in favor of reconnection and simplified models show that it does exist. What is only needed is a real three-dimensional and better simulations which will prove or disprove this. Yeah. What? No, yeah, complete what is needed. Yeah. Three-dimensional, I mean, of course, yes.
It's not very clear to me what constrains the flow to be perpendicular to the disk, because global instability and angular momentum conservation do not constrain that it should be along the axle of the accretion disk. Yeah. It could be in any
direction. I think it's a very good question in reality, and in the sense that when we come closer and closer to the axis, magnetic field enhances. And finally, it plays more and more role compared with matter. So, some matter will be. Finally, when magnetic energy will start flow in the near region of black hole or the star, it flows up. It is very strong, and it can carry some matter of the disk. Okay. Yes, because it's direction of magnetic field. Yes. Mm-hmm. And because it's just cylindrical symmetry, there is no other option.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about your zebra model. Mm-hmm. You have these opposite directions of field lines, and then you drag them into the center, and then interesting things happen. But what prevents these zebra stripes to reconnect before mm-hmm. they are dragged in?
We suppose that diffusivity is pretty low in plasma. Mm-hmm. And when they come closer to the central region, first of all, geometrical scales become smaller. Okay? So they might reconnect, of course, but if diffusivity is pretty low, then...
assuming that the mm-hmm. region of the zebra stripes is a high beta plasma.
Yes.
Because okay, so it's not the atmosphere.
Magnetically dominated. Yeah.
No. Okay, that's a low beta.
Low beta yes.
But then you have very fast reconnection processes.
Not necessarily. To obtain reconnection, you should have pretty close the regions of opposite polarity. Should be closer.
So you think that such a zebra situation can be maintained in a low beta plasma?
It might be maintained. It depends on conditions. On
what kind of conditions would it depend
okay.
on?
So a little bit maybe confusing the fact that we just the drawing of these oppositely directed regions very close to each other. In reality, if you look at the first plot, there is a loop where will not reconnect because oppositely directed regions are far away. Okay, and when these regions loops come closer, they become more compressed in the central region. They might reconnect. They might
there's
not.
There's plenty of time for that because they are dragging mm-hmm. very slow with the accretion rate.
It depends.
Alphane speeds are very high.
Yeah. If it's global magnetic instability occurs, then it will accrete with dynamical time scale.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we have to move on actually to the next okay. talk. Or do you? Okay. Go ahead.
It's on. Just a comment in directly in connection with that. We do have a way to test this observationally, mm-hmm. right? Because if there are regions of a toroidal magnetic field that are first going one way and then going the other, we should be able to see these transverse rotation measure gradients switch. Okay. So there is an observational test for this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Good.